Okay. Hey, everybody, I'm back. I'm gonna say it again. Today is Wednesday, April 19th, 2023, and I am still Solid Blue Sister, and this is still my turn to talk. And Blunt is still, Blunt Ninja is still number one. Hey, Grant. Rifle, Rena, thank you all for coming back. Blue, welcome, welcome. Well, I'm sorry, Grid. Blunt, sorry. She was number one. Hey, GP. Oh, Frankie, Minnesota. Welcome, welcome back. Bro, welcome. And to anyone streaming on any other platform, welcome. Yes, I am, Lou. I'm doing well. I know y'all probably get tired of this song, but it's my opening. No, Grant, you cannot blame. You cannot blame how tired you are and not being number one. Blunt Ninja was on it. She was on it. Okay, everybody, we're going to get started. So today I want to talk about DCFS, which is Department of Children and Family Services in most states across the country. But, you know, you read so many stories, just so many stories out there. They either pop up on the news or, you know, wherever you get your news from, most people from social media, I guess. And there's always, you know, a story about a child that ends up, you know, being, you know, killed by a parent or a boyfriend or, you know, an aunt or an uncle or something. And it's always where DCFS was always called. They were always called. They were called by a neighbor. They were called by someone in the family. But they were always notified. And a lot of times it's months in advance. Months in advance, you know, they're told that this is going on. You need to check this out. And, you know, sometimes they interview the child and the child says that everything is okay. I don't know if they're saying it out of fear. Hey, Shelby, welcome. I don't know if they're saying it out of fear or what, but DCFS always seems to know in advance that there's something wrong. So they go and do a check. And in some cases, DCFS may not have even, you know, checked on these children for months, sometimes even years. And then the child ends up dying. What do you do? I mean, why is DCF so broken? I mean, I remember back in my 20s, a friend of mine told me that the Department of Social Services, they were looking for people. And I went, and it wasn't something that I really wanted to do. Wasn't where I wanted my life to be, but I went, and I went through a 6-week training course. At the beginning of the course, there were like 70 people in the class. And the trainer said, by the time 6 weeks is over, there'll probably be about 10. I was one of those people that dropped out. I couldn't handle it. You know, the photos that we saw, the things that we were supposed to do, the caseloads that they said that we were supposed to have. It not only was it depressing to me and just so sad, but the caseload was just so high. You know, being in Chicago, and the fact that your cases were not like, okay, the caseload was like 50. And it wasn't like everyone's in the same area. It's like all over the city. So you're running from here, there, whatever, and you're supposed to check on these people once a week. And, you know, so now you see where DCFS, you know, one of the biggest problems is they don't have enough people. But is that an excuse for letting some of these children, a lot of these children, fall through the cracks? You know, what do you do? You just say, well, okay, well, we'll just send this one to foster care, or we'll send this one to this home. And, you know, well, this, you know, these parents are supposed to be really good. And this woman is supposed to be really nice. And, you know, this man, he takes in all these children and they're, you know, whatever. But are they even doing background checks? Are they doing the due diligence that they're supposed to? And do they have time to do it? And if it's a question of not having enough people, what do they need to do in order to get more people trained and working and want them to work there? I do know that a lot of people in DCFS are underpaid. What do you do? I was reading an article about this one little girl that passed away, and the worker said, I spend more time here in the office than with my own children. So does your family life have to suffer because you're dealing with your job? And is DCFS working with Children and Family Services, is it more than a job? You know, because for me, when I was there, it was just, I mean, I think I lasted maybe 4 weeks. But just it was an emotional thing for me to see. And Blunt Ninja says, I was a foster child as a teenager, and some of the homes I was placed in were highly questionable. Yes. Yes. You know, so, and Rifle says, I would ask what part of the government isn't broken. You know, they steal children. It's a social racket. They don't care. It's about money. Lewis agreeing with Bro, they need to pay them handsomely. Blunt says, I don't think the background checks are extensive enough. They need better training and pay. And she says, all of my caseworkers were horrible. So were they horrible because they seemed not to care? Were they overworked? I mean, if you could look back at it now, what was it? Was it they were overworked, or were they just mean and rude and all of the above? Hey, Juju, welcome. You know, why is DCFS so broken? And it's not something that happened yesterday, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. It's been like this for a long time all across the country. You know, what needs to happen? And let's see, they didn't seem to care, and they forgot I existed. You know, so when you have something like that, you know, Is it that they forgot, or were they just so overworked? And you said that you were a teenager. So do they assume that maybe the teenagers can survive? And I'm going to use that word survive, because that's what I think a lot of children do in foster care, that they can survive better as a teen, as opposed to the little ones who they think may need more attention. But even those children get forgotten. Bro says, it's social institutional, it is social as well as institutional slavery. They need to be revamped. And that's what I'm asking. Why is it broken? You know, why does America not care about living children? You know, all of a sudden, you know, when something happens and a tragedy happens, it's on the news for a couple days, maybe. But then they go on to the next story. You know, why don't we care beforehand? I mean, is it, Shelby says they do care, just not here. When you say just not here, are you saying in America or where you live? When you say not here, I don't understand that. Blunt says, they care overseas. Blunt Ninja says they care only about the unborn children. You know, and Blunt has a very good point. Yes, yes. You know, and it's, you know, and not to want to get into this whole thing about the unborn, but it's like, you know, you strive so hard for the unborn, but then when they're here, what do you do? All of a sudden, it's like, well, now, you know, we got to put them on some social program, and that's going to cost money, and this, this, and this, and this. You know, it just isn't right. So that's where I say, why is it so broken? You know, are the people who work there, you know, I believe that there are some people that work there that really do care, that truly do. And I believe there are some that work there that don't, may just be there for the paycheck, or just so overworked and overwhelmed, have been doing it for so long that they just get into the attitude where they just really don't care. You know, so again, I go back to, what do you do? How do you fix something that is so broken, where we're not talking about we're fixing, you know, this car comes off the, you know, production line and is broken. You have 3 million cars that have come off the, and you have to recall them. I mean, when you think about that, it's like, we'll recall a car and be concerned and go after a car dealer or a manufacturer, you know, for making, you know, brakes that fail. We'll go after them for that. But DCFS, nah, they're just kids. They're just lives. We don't care. You know, see, GBO, you should call in only if you're okay sharing. So Blunt, no, she can call in whenever she wants. No pressure. But you know, I just read this story the other day about a 6-year-old girl who was found in a locked bathroom in the bathtub, and she had been dead for over a month. And apparently, teachers at school were saying, where is she? She hasn't shown up for school. They're calling the house. No one can say where this little girl was. Come to find out that the mother and the boyfriend strangled her. But like I said before, DCFS was notified months in advance. And they had gone out to the home. They had spoken to the little girl. But every time they talked to her in the presence of the boyfriend or the mom. So she always said everything was okay. But then she would go to school and the teacher would see bruises and what have you. They would say something's going on in the house. Well, we talked to the little girl and she said everything was fine. Well, if you're six and you have adults who are abusing you and they're standing there probably or staring at you down like you better say the right thing. Yeah, I'd probably say I'm okay too. You know, and then 3 or 4 months after DCFS goes out there, the little girl disappears, and a month later after that, they find her in a locked bathroom in the bathtub where they put her. And Rifle says the government isn't the ones going after them. It's attorneys, no money to get a piece of. You know, and yes, Blunt, it is heartbreaking, but there are millions of stories that are like that. And bro, I said this, the social workers, they visited a couple of months and they spoke to the young girl. And she said that everything was okay. And William says, children are precious. Welcome, William. I mean, it is. And Bro says, where were the people who ran the social program? That's what happens when you put punks in charge. But again, you know, it's like, is it? I don't know if you guys watch Law and Order SVU. That's one of the shows that I like. And there was one show on there where Whoopi Goldberg was in charge of social services. And it ended up where a lot of things were falling through the cracks. And they had a case where a child died, blah, blah, blah. And when she was on the stand, she said, you don't know what we go through, how many cases we have to go through. And it ended up being her boss that was like just saying, just shove everything through, just say that you went, just do this. We got it, you know, we got to make sure that our numbers stay. It was all about numbers. You know, so bro, when you say it's the punks that are in charge, which punk are you talking about? Because even if you have a boss that's trying to do everything the right way, and if it trickles down and you've given your caseworkers so much work to do that they don't have, you know, there's just so many cases because there's just, and that's what's sad. The fact that there are so many cases out there in the first place, the fact that there are so many children out there that are just being mistreated. That's number one, the horrible part is that DCFS, in my opinion, should be one of the places where they have no work. There's no work. But unfortunately, there's too much work. So what do you do? And Blunt says, when DCFS would visit when I was a younger child, I always lied and say everything was okay because I was afraid of going into the system. See, that's another thing. You know, so you know, you're talking to a child. But at the same time, are you still doing your due diligence to see, well, is this child really telling the truth? Not saying that they're not, because I don't like to, you know, I don't want to say that this child is lying. But at the same time, they don't want to go into the system. And Rifle says, I don't know enough to speak intelligently about this topic, but the laws tie their hands on what they can do. They are overworked with too many clients, more social workers. Bro says someone has to be willing to take a stand for these defenseless children. We have to be willing to go over our bosses' heads. And I agree with what everyone is saying. But as usual, a lot of things are easier said than done. I mean, there are just too many. There's just too many cases. And William says, I was investigated by DCFS, but it was because of my ex, now past wife. You know, and then that's another thing. You have situations where people manufacture stuff that's not true. So then that has to, so that's another thing that's on the docket that has to be looked at while, you know, like they say, while you're, you know, saying fire over here and it's a joke. Meanwhile, the place across town is really burning down. You know, so, you know, see, Lou says, me too, bro. My oldest son, his mom used to beat him and they thought it was me. Let's see, bro says hire more people. They hire more police. And you have a good point there. You know, hire more people. And, you know, it's like, where are these resources going? You know, I don't know. I just look at it as just, you know, for as long as I can remember, DCFS, I don't care where in this country you live, has just been screwed. And I start with the fact that there are too many clients. There are way too many clients, and there should not be. You know, so, and when you put people in foster care, I don't believe that all foster places are bad. I've never been a foster child. I've never been in foster care. I've never been a foster parent. But I do know a couple of foster parents that truly do a good job. In fact, some of these parents have even adopted these children. These children have gone on to do amazing things. But unfortunately, you still have those other ones, like Blunt, who were put in places that were not so nice. You know? Juju says, resources falling through the cracks. Bro says, in a CEO pocket. Okay, and Blunt says one of my homes was a nice place. So Blunt, one thing that I would like to know, when you go to foster care, because I've seen, and again, these are places that people that I know who are foster parents, and some kids tend to stay forever, and some kids seem to come and go. Is that because of the parents? I mean, why are people coming and going and other people pretty much stay put? Bro says nothing is all bad, but it certainly isn't all. No, it isn't. You know, it's like half a dozen in one hand, half a dozen in the other. It's like, you know, but I still come back to the point, you know, I've always said that one reason why America, and I don't want to get political, but I'm going to say this. One reason why America doesn't care about children in the system is because they don't vote. They don't vote. You know, so is that why they don't get the resources that they need, the training that they need? Or are these people trained? It just comes back to being so overworked. I mean, if the person who you were working with on Friday in the desk that was next to you, they quit over the weekend and you come back in on Monday, what are the chances that your workload is going to double? Well, Salah's not here anymore. Bro's not here anymore. So, you know, we're going to have to, you're going to have to take this many cases. You have to do this. You're going to do this on top of what you already have. One said it depends. Some placements are for short term. Others could be because the family isn't happy with the foster child or vice versa. Any number of reasons, honestly. Okay. Bro says parenting for a profit is never a good thing. I agree with you, bro. But at the same time, foster parents do have to get paid, you know, so you have to pay them something. And I do know that I know a lot of them probably look forward to that check. But I also know that some foster parents also, you know, add or can contribute their own funds to the situation. So, this is a subject that, you know, but that shouldn't be the only catalyst. No, it should not. And I would like to think that if you're going to be a foster parent, I mean, I would like to think that you want to do it because you want to do it and you care and you want to help, whatever, I would like to think that that's first and foremost, you know. I don't know. But again, why is it broken? Is it broken because there's not enough people? There's not enough resources? There's not enough good foster parents? Or is it just the fact that there's too many clients and not enough people to deal with the caseloads? Blunt says it depends. Oh, hold on, my thing just jumped. Screen societal misfits. Okay, the misfits on what side though? The misfits on what side? Are you saying the misfits that are working there or
the misfits that put you in the system
in the first place?
Scream.
Hey, bro.
Good afternoon. Solid Blue, scream both. Screen the system, the very system itself, the children's services system itself. Screen the parents better that they're sending them to be foster parents. And then we need to start socially screening the parents that the children came from. It's a lot of societal misfits. It is misfits that make a system that make up this system. It's too many misfits involved.
That's why I said there's too many clients, but okay. So let's say you screen the foster parents, you screen the people who are working there, mm-hmm. but you still have too heavy of a caseload, are you still going to be able to get around to every single place that you're supposed to? Somebody's going to get, somebody's not going to be seen. And in between going around and seeing everyone. I was just going to say going in between seeing everyone, you still have to go back. You still got to go back to the office, write your report. If a child needs to go to the doctor or whatever, you still have to set that up. You still got to, you know, get in touch with this person. You got to get in touch with this person. You got to get in touch with this person. So, Is every case really going to have the attention that they need? Bro? You there?
Do you remember the pandemic? A lot of people were on unemployment during the pandemic. Yes. That was the first time that we ever heard that there was a short curb that problem. They started hiring people to work from home. They always hire more people care than the. So that's an excuse in my eyes. Department down into the ditch. See, as long as they can say, well, our caseload is too heavy. Our caseload is that we're for ends up raped, that ends up dead, that we gotta stop letting them have that as an excuse, because they hire more people in areas that they care about.
I agree with what you're saying, but at the same time, how do you get people to work at social services? I mean, honestly, because I say that using me as an example. Back in my 20s, I lasted 4 weeks through a 6-week course. I just couldn't do it. I just couldn't take it. I'm sorry, bro. You are breaking up.
You
are breaking.
Can you hear me all right?
Yes.
Sally Blue?
Now I can.
I'm going to call back.
I can hear you. Okay, he's going to come back. Were you guys having a hard time hearing, bro? Okay, here he comes back. And
can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Okay. What I was saying was, if you paid the people more and you lowered the qualifications and the standards of the employee, because they evidently they don't have as much standard as they should right now as it sits. If you lowered the maybe you might get a lot more people if you paid them better. See, we can't give them a little bit of money and expect excellent services. That's why our teachers aren't doing really quality teaching, because not paid enough.
Okay, they're not paid enough, but now you're saying lower the qualifications, because back when I was going through the classes, whatever, you had to have a college degree. So are you saying now, well, don't have a college degree? And even for some teachers now, it's like they've lowered the qualifications of what a teacher should be or qualify. And some of these teachers to me shouldn't even be teaching. But we're not going to get in there. We're not going. We're staying on top.
Mm-hmm.
But when you say lower the qualifications and pay them more money, yeah, you can pay them more money. But do we really need to lower the qualifications? Can't we keep the qualifications and just pay them more money and still find a way to entice good people to work there?
The reason why I say lower the qualifications is if you lower the qualifications, you could get more people, and you can put programs in place that while they're working there, that they'll be taking classes and courses that get them up to par, and make those classes and courses mandatory so that they have to take them. And then that way they'll be built up from the inside, because it's an inside job anyway.
Okay, you just cut out.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. You said because it's the inside, and then you cut out.
It's an inside job. It's a job that you can work. That's one of the jobs that best qualify as getting experience on the job. On the job training there would be perfect, because you can bring up people from the lowest a qualification and get them on point. You can have a point system, a grading system that let them know when they reach their apex, and they can have training every year so that they can stay on abreast of the new, any changes, the laws, anything. You can teach them that while they're working there, because that's what it seems like they're working with now.
I'm just trying to digest what you said. I'm thinking about what you just said. So basically you're saying, I just want to make sure I have this right. So I'm not going to say, so basically you're saying, I'm going to just come out and ask you. So I'm asking you, are you saying take anybody and we'll get them up to speed?
I'm not saying take anybody, but to get your numbers up, to get your number of employees up, at least take people, have them, at least if it used to be a BA degree, let them come in with an associate's. You know, if you lower the qualifications just a little bit, you won't lose much. You won't lose much, and you'll probably gain access to more capable employees.
Okay, so Shelby says they have that now. So what can we do to make the change? And Crucible says the qualifications need to be based on what the job expectations are. Okay, so bro, again, I come back to, what do you have somebody like me?
Uh-huh.
I just could not deal with, I mean, it was depressing. It was heart-wrenching. It was like emotionally, I was drained just from a training class. From a training class and seeing photos and reading cases and stuff. I mean, I couldn't do it. So are you going to say, well, Solid, we'll pay you, you know, $10,000 more? You know, well,
no,
it's not the money. It's I can't do this.
I'm going to just say to you, Solid, go sit down, have a seat, and get back to what you used to doing, because everybody can't be a doctor either.
Because
everybody can't accept the blood and the guts and the gore.
No, and you're absolutely right. But I also said that at the beginning of that training class, that there were like 75 people. And that trainer said by the end of 6 weeks, there will be maybe 10. When I dropped out around the fourth week, we were down to like 20 something. I kid you not. So for her to tell us that there will be, you know, maybe 10 at the end of the 6 week course, there will be maybe 10. And we started out with 75. Again, because I say, how are you going to, I mean, if people have a problem just with dealing with the emotional side of it, what are you going to do? Because that is a job where you get burned out because of the fact that it's just, you know, people just looking at the same crap day in and day out, and they just get burned out and they just can't do it anymore.
And, you know, everybody get burned out. Police get burned out. Ambulance drivers get burned out. Everybody get burned. Just run more classes, more frequently, and just let the people that can't, you know, take it or deal with it, let them get weeded out. Every job does that.
Right, you have jobs. Okay, but I mean, but you're still going to end up with, you're saying you let people get weeded out,
but
you're still going to end up with a certain amount of people that you still need.
Not really, because every class ain't going to have as many people leave. Some people, you got to remember, some children go to school and they major in social work. Some people are built for that. Just like some people are built to be police officers. They're built to be nurses. They're built to be.
Hence the reason why you should not lower the standards. I mean, one of the things is a college degree, and they prefer people who do have a degree in social work.
Well, you know, evidently they need to put a mechanism in place that's better at attracting people and keeping people. So if that's the case, if you don't lower the standards, at least upgrade how you deal with those people so that you can create an environment that make it seem like they at least want to be a part of momentarily, if not till retirement.
So when you say momentarily, we talking years.
Meaning that they only stay, you know, nobody stay at a job to retire every time they get one. You know that just as well as I do.
Well, that used to be the case. That used to be the case, but not anymore.
That's still the case. Do you know it seems like most people will never retire now at this point in life?
That's because they want to keep pushing the retirement age up to 70 because they don't want to pay you your Social Security, which isn't
But a lot of companies ain't even sticking around for 30 years, just like the people ain't. A lot of companies was created 10 years ago and not in existence today. It wasn't that the people left, the companies left.
Well,
and during the COVID.
Yeah, but at the same time, but you also had a lot of companies that got bought out. But I mean, but even still, it's like you still come to the part of, okay, so let me ask this. How many cases or caseloads do you think each social worker or caseworker should have?
Now you're saying for a whole year, for just a week or a month, like how long?
I'm saying what is their caseload? Because from the way I understand it, you have this case and you see it through. So it's not like, okay, you have this for a week and then you pass it on. Well, what is your caseload?
If that's the case, everybody should be able to handle up to 20 to 25 cases. Have you ever went to a court and see the stack of cases that lawyers have, or see the stack of cases that judges have to provide over? They don't ever say, oh, I'm just swamped. I'm just overwhelmed. No, they don't talk like that.
No. And you're right. But see, but the benefit for some of those cases, like for the judges who have all those cases, that's one reason why you don't get a court date for maybe a year, because of the fact that there are so many cases, whatever. And I would rather have a private attorney than to have a public defender. Not saying that the public defender would not do a good job, but because they do have so many cases, it's like, are you going to pay attention to my case as well as you would if you were, you know, a private attorney where you only have so many cases as opposed to the hundreds? So, you know, and even for those cases, I mean, bro, even for 25 cases, and let's say those cases can be anywhere from mild to the severe, and you're supposed to see those people every single week. Can you see 25 people every single week, do a good job, submit your reports, do follow up and everything like that? I mean, can you do that with 25 cases? Because I think 25 cases, when you're dealing with children and you're dealing with children that come from broken and abused homes, I personally think 25 is too much. I think that if a caseworker is going to do a good job and where they're not stressed out, it's like 10.
Say, for instance, seeing them every week is the standard, right? Mm-hmm. That's not happening. Because I knew foster parents that them people... I ain't see them people in months coming to their house sometime. And if that's the case, if that's how they really doing it, yes, you can have up to 25 people because you're not constantly traveling. And if that's the case, you can also get as many clients as you can handle and still do your due diligence. Yes, they can do that. They can do that. They can definitely, they can easily do it. The question is, do they want to?
Okay, so I'm following what you're saying. So we have a little girl, Mary. Mary, someone reported her parents or mother, father, whatever, brother, sister. Mary is being abused. She goes to school and the teacher sees, you know, bruises on her. You know, whatever, she's not doing well in school, whatever. Don't you think that when you go to do your due diligence, that you are literally talking to not just the teachers, but you're looking at the parents? I mean, you're talking to maybe the grandparents. You're talking to a lot of people for just one case. You're doing your due diligence a lot for just one case. You're going to tell me that you can do all that for 25 cases in a week?
That's when Solid Blue, that there's every social worker should have mission people. That means people that work in conjunction with them, that when it comes to the schools and other places, that they get to go and talk to the school. See, if one person does all the work, they can become a part of the corruption in the corrupt system. But if other people do some of the work, they can become a part of the checks and balances of a corrupt system. Never let one person do everything, because that's when the corruption can easily kick in.
So do you think that right now caseworkers have people to help them? You don't think that there's somebody that is, that, you know, when they come back to the office, they'll say, okay, I need you to check this out, this out, this out, this out. And while they're doing it for you, they're also doing it for maybe five or six other caseworkers.
But if all those people working in conjunction, that makes everybody's workload just a little bit lighter, because no one person is doing all the work.
Okay. All right. I don't know. They
even I guess Shelby just agreed with me because she said they don't have a team like they should.
I was just exactly about to read that. I was just about to read that. They don't have a team like they should. I mean, okay. I mean, you know, I just think that the first problem, first and foremost, are there are too many clients. And unfortunately, these are clients who are under the age of 18 and they don't vote. I mean, we as a country do not care about living children. We just don't.
We never have.
No, we haven't. And you, I mean, you gotta remember. We've proven that, you know, many times just over, you know, the last, you know, show that we had about the shootings and stuff. We just don't care. You know,
but if you go back even further, Solid Blue, in the late 1800s, early 1900s, what about the children that they put to work under the most heinous conditions?
Right. And that's why that law had to be passed that, you know, children, you know, you had to be, you know, you had to get a work permit or something like, I mean, that's why those laws changed. But as Blunt said earlier, they care more about, this country cares more about the unborn children than they do for the live children. You know, and these unborn children, they're going to end up in the system. And that's why I say they don't care. You're making all this noise about this. But when they get into the system, y'all don't care. So it's like, Blue, what do we do? What do we do?
They don't even care about the unborn children, because if they cared about the unborn children, they would monitor abortion a little bit more, because when they shut down abortion clinics, then women start to go into back alleys like they did in the early 1900s and just allow anybody to perform their abortion. They don't care. Everything is about money.
Everything is about money, but it still comes down to the point that we have a system in this country where you have children that are in the system. They fall through the system. As Blunt said, they forgot that I existed, you know, whatever. And then you have children that age out. And no one cares, you know. It just doesn't make any sense, you know. And we're supposed to be this great nation, and we can't even take care of our children.
Let me say this, Solid Blue. You know what makes America more greater than it actually is? The propaganda and the rhetoric about America.
It's always been like that.
So America, we need to even stop speaking of it as a great country until it becomes one. And that's the problem. It's almost hypocritical to speak of America as great.
It is. And Shelby says they can't because women want the choice. Y'all, see, I tell y'all, I, you know, these topics, you know, I mean, they're hard topics because there's never, you know, really an answer. I would like for there to be an answer. Sometimes I think there's a very clear answer, but people just don't pay attention to it. Sometimes, you know, there's not a clear answer, you know, I mean, I don't know, but DCFS, you know, is just, I mean, I truly, truly, I mean, that's just one system that is just broken. Go ahead, bro.
Solid Blue, let me say this. Schools, children's services, or anything that even come into contact between a parent and a child, guess what they are? They're child birth to a prison pipeline. America damages more children in the course of their childhood and teenage years and send them to prison. America imprisons more people than most of the countries that's outside of America. Don't you know America has the largest prison population? How did they get that?
We got there because we know how police started. That's why it is there.
No, but what I'm saying is, when you damage children by miseducating them, undereducating them, and doing damage to their childhood, they are the ones who end up going into prison.
Yes, they are. And I'm saying that this is something, this was by design. It was by design. It was by design. When you look at, you know, how police officers started with the whole slave patrols and what have you, it was by design. It was by design to get children, you know, into those type of systems. But at the same time, I would like to think that DCFS, you know, is there to help children, but it's not. So again, I say, let me ask this. If you were in charge of DCFS, if they put you in charge of DCFS tomorrow, do you think you would be able to get it in shape just for one state, whatever state you want to pick? Do you think you would be able to get DCFS together within a year?
I would say at a county level. I wouldn't say at a state level, because certain counties are pushed back at a whole state level. But I could at least quell the problems of at least one county in a year.
But if you're in charge, you're in charge of the entire state. Why just the county and not statewide?
Why just a county and not statewide? Because I could oversee a county myself. It'd be hard for one individual to just go around from county to county. As you know, some states have as many as 50 counties.
But can't you do the same thing that you're saying with the caseworkers? Can't you have someone that's working with you on your team that's doing
what you're
doing?
But you know what? It's going to take more than just one person oversee. It's going to take legislation. It's going to take laws that could be legislated in order to help change the conditions. See, if there's not a law in place, people don't have nothing to adhere to. But if certain laws are putting certain demands on certain individuals, they won't have any choice but to change.
And you don't think those laws are there now?
No, they're not. Because you got to remember, the Philistines is making the laws, and they're the worst types of people. Do you know there are entities like Heritage House or ALEC, ALEC? They are the ones that's writing and drafting the bills. They're just about money. Let me ask you this. Did you hear about the Bud Light situation?
No.
Bud Light had a transgender endorse their Bud Light beer, right? Heritage House went and paid people like Kid Rock to protest the Budweiser industry, right? For doing that. But guess what we didn't know about Heritage House? Joseph Coors, the grandson of Adolf Coors from the Coors Brewing Company, he was the one that was the CEO of the Heritage House that went at Budweiser. Do you know why? Because when they protested Budweiser and people stopped buying it, Coors Light started moving off the shelf en masse. See, everything is about money, and unless you follow the paper trail, you won't know what they're doing to you.
No, I mean, and I agree. Everything in this country is about money. It's always about money. Who can get this? Who can do that? I mean, after all, I'm just going to say everything is about money. You know, are we losing money? What can we do to keep the money? Do we need to do this to have money? What can we do? Money, 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 money. But unfortunately, people end up getting hurt. And in this case, for DCFS, it's the children. Welcome, Ace Tulian Shahid. Who did I forget? That's what it comes down to. It always comes down to money. So, I don't know. So what's it going to take for you to get the entire state taken care of?
I'm going to have certain legislators on my side. I want the sheriff on my side because I want to be able to ride down on some individuals. You understand where I'm coming from? I want to be able to make some noise because everything when I step into that department head, I'm going to be the new sheriff in town and they're going to have to get in line.
Okay. So would you
fire?
And I
want power behind me so I could do it.
Would you fire every single caseworker that dropped the ball and a child died?
Not immediately. You know what I do? I train them. I make them train. I make their predecessor train them.
Is it training? Again, I come back to, is it training or is it the case load? And let me ask this: What do you say? Okay, so do you train a judge that allows a child to go back to an abusive parent, and that child ends up dying? Do you train the judge?
No, the judge will get fired. Let me say this: I believe.
So why are you firing the judge, but you're not firing the caseworker?
No, I wouldn't fire the caseworkers immediately. I will have them train people, not knowing that the people they training are getting ready to take their jobs.
But would you immediately fire the judge?
But I would admit, because you know why? The judge sits at a higher standard. See, understand this. Police officers, judges, ambulance drivers, they're all held to a higher standard than regular people. Do you know if you was riding down the street and saw somebody that you didn't like laying on the side of the road, you might not be inclined to get out and help them? But even if the ambulance driver don't like them, it's their job to help those people. They're held to a higher standard. Yes, I'll fire that judge.
Okay. All right. And then A says, are we talking about CPS, DCFS and CPS, and depending upon where you are, it is the same thing. That's what I'm going to be working for. And then Shahid says, why the children of America buy guns and kill people in school malls and parties? America full of filth, drugs, porn, gangster, rap music, love of money, materialism, immortality. And Lou says, most people used to get fired when they didn't perform their jobs to a standard. That's true. Most people did. Hey, Smoke. And hello, Ace. Or formal welcome to you guys. So, bro, you want to address what Shahid said?
You know what? Let me just say this. All right, check this out. Do you know, because I'm reading at the same time I'm formulating an opinion. It seems like Shahid went directly after a certain demographic, because everything that he just listed is stereotypical. Do you see it?
Yes, I do see it, and I will say this.
Okay.
America, Shahid, America does have its problems. We have a lot of problems. But there are other countries that, you know, are killing people because, you know, they don't want girls to go to school, so they kill them, or they terrorize them. They wed, you know, 10-year-old girls to 70-year-old men. You know, there's a lot of problems in a lot of other countries. But I do see what he said, and yes, it was.
All right, let me say this. You know what he's not addressing?
And he said he's not from South America.
He's not addressing
drugs in South America.
But he's not addressing, inside of his statement, he's not addressing embezzlement, which is something that is done at a level of children's services. Do you know that the CEO can use that money by way of embezzling it? And they don't hire more people. They don't get all the things that they need to have in place because they don't have the money because somebody's stealing it all. And I mean, then,
go ahead.
It's quite a few things that he's not addressing. See,
well, I mean, but again, I don't even think that, you know, he's not even addressing the whole DCFS thing because he says American parents stopped raising their kids. They are now more focused on politics, conspiracy theories, and fighting for freedom. I am going to tell you, I will always fight for freedom. I will always fight for freedom. And I have raised my child. My parents have raised me, whatever. And in terms of being from South America, where a lot of the drugs are coming from. So,
I want to stay on this Shahid thing a little bit because if you really read between the lines of what Shahid is saying, right? Shahid is addressing Black problems as if Black people are the only people that's doing it. Listen to what he said. He said America's parents stopped raising their kids. They are now more focused on politics, conspiracy theories, and fighting for free. Let me say this.
Well, first of all, I'm not going to read Black people into that statement because I don't think a lot of Black people are into the conspiracy theories. But I do think that what he said is off base and is definitely off topic. So
exactly.
Go ahead.
Definitely. Okay, because all I was saying was there is some sprinkles in what he's saying. And just because we don't want to act like we don't want to see them don't mean that they are not there.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying I understand what you're saying. But a lot of times I look at the whole. I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. But again, he's totally off topic. So we're just gonna
Okay.
There are children all over the world who are orphaned, who are homeless, who feel ignored, who even have parents who have tons of money, and who feel invisible, unheard, unloved, unwanted all over the world. Children are like that all over the world.
So all over the world, they doing gangster rap. They selling drugs.
I am staying with the DCFS topic.
Okay,
where he says that I'm feeling ignored, invisible, unheard. I'm just saying that there are children all over the world that feel mm-hmm. like that. There are children who are in homes. Whatever, who feel unwanted and unloved, unheard, whatever. So there are, you know, there are
that's even with their biological families. Yes. Yes, even with their biological.
Yes.
Do you know one of the reasons why children feel like that, Solid Blue, if you will, is that a lot of parents do just the bare minimum. They keep a roof over their children's head, food in their stomach, and clothes on their back. And they buy them things and basically say, get out my face. You got everything you need. And the TV, the iPad, the cell phone, those become the mechanisms that actually raise the child. And then when the child let loose and be in some sort of trouble, the parent is quick to say, I didn't raise them to be like that. The point is, you didn't raise them, period. You just assisted them with life. And that's what parents got to start understanding, that you got to do more than assist your child with life. Because I got a turtle, Solid Blue, and I could feed that turtle. I keep the aquarium as a shelter for that turtle. But guess what I cannot do? I cannot teach that turtle how to be a turtle. He got to learn that on his own. But I am assisting him with his life because I feed him.
Yes, you do. And I want to get back on topic because Ace is talking. Because Ace says that's one of the reasons I am going into that work field. One person can't fix it, but I can make a difference to someone somewhere.
Exactly.
And Ace, I have to commend you. You know, if one person can make a difference, then that's all. But again, you know, we talked about this, why DCFS is broken. I think some major changes have to be done from within as well as without. I think another reason why DCFS is so broken is because even society doesn't care. I think that you know, that neighbor that calls and says there's a problem, I think people like that care, but I think, you know, does the whole neighborhood care? Does the whole city care? You know, do we as a society care about these children? Do we really care? And I would say no.
No, ma'am.
And that's another reason. It's not just the politics. It's not just the people within. It's not just, you know, the people who are the bosses and the caseworkers. It's also we as a society just don't care. And we haven't cared about these children for a long, long, long time. So, and bro, I'm going to get the last word, then I'm going to wrap it up.
Okay. Well, let me say one more thing, please, Solid Blue.
Please stay on topic.
I am. Check this out. Solid Blue, you just asked the question, does society care? The irony of America is everything has the word care in it, like Obamacare, Medicare, Netcare. All kinds of things that care, and the truth is nobody cares. That's the truth. Nobody cares.
Well, William says, my two kids, 21 and 22, are right with me. I either did a good job or have completely spoiled them. The jury is still out. You know, William, you know, If you think you did a good job, because my son is 22, he'll be 23 in June, and I know I did a damn good job. I know I did a damn good job, and I know that my parents did a damn good job with me and my sister. You know, so you know, some of y'all may not think so, but you know, but I look at my son, and I'm just proud. I mean, he's graduating in May, and he's going to continue with his master's in September, and all the things I'm just tickled. I just look at him and I just smile. So, you know, so William, if you, you know, think that you did a good job, then claim it, say it, you know, so I don't know. And Ace says, most don't care until directly impacting. You're talking about society. And Lou says, unfortunately not. So, bro, I know you want to say something else. Go ahead. This is your last word.
No, I'm going to leave you alone right now. See, Solid Blue, you always picking on me.
I'm picking on you. Figure. I said. Well, no, I'm trying to stay on topic, and you went into this long whatever.
Solid Blue, we're going to have a celebrity death match. We are going to have to get it in. What's going on, Solid Blue?
You know what? That could be a Thursday fun. That could be a Thursday fun show. Yeah.
See how you just take content ideas from anywhere. Solid Blue, you are cold. You cold. You cold.
I said, what? How is that cold? I said that could be a Thursday fun.
No, cold means a good thing.
Okay.
That means
right.
a good
okay.
sea solid blue.
I'm sorry. No, I'm old school. So when you say cold, I'm looking at, well, damn.
No, because if you see something that's nice, you'd be like, oh, that's cold. You understand? See, that solid blue, we're going to have to get together.
No, see, I see things that are good. I tend to say that's solid.
You do remember in the 80s, the word bad meant good.
Yes.
Like if
yes,
you saw a nice
yes,
car, you would
also,
say that's bad.
Also, if you go back to the 70s, you know, whatever. So, you know what? Would you all mind if one show, I just play a comedy album? Would you all mind that? No,
I wouldn't.
No talk. So Brina says, I would like that and see. That's awesome. One of my sisters working on that. It's hard work despite. Yeah, it is. It's a lot of hard work. And Brina would like that. I don't mind, A says. Okay, so you know what? I think I might do that next Thursday. Next Thursday. I know a lot of y'all. Maybe I know y'all or some of y'all are on the young side, whatever, but he still makes me laugh. I was listening to it the other day, and now that bro said that, you know, the celebrity, and I do want to do the celebrity match too. So, bro, if you're up to it, I'm serious. We can do a celebrity match, and we can figure out how we're, you know, what the guidelines are, whatever. So, would you all want to see a celebrity match between me and bro? Questions? Come on, guys. I need to know. Okay, I got one yes. Anybody else? Anybody else? And I would like, so I'm not being biased or anything, I would like to have a referee. So if one of you guys want to come up on the panel for one show and you all could be the referee, so it won't be like, well, Sally's saying it's her show and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, all right, A says, I'm here for it. All right, so we can do that.
Solid blue. Can I choose three referees real quick? Can I choose three referees real quick? I would like it to be Ace, Brina, and Crucible. Because, you know, we're a nightmare, Solid Blue. It's going to take a lot of people to break us up. So we're going to have to need a whole bunch of attention. And I think they're the best three to do it. You could pick three, too.
Well, I will say this. But she is at work, so I know that she's not going to be able to do it. But I am going to say this. Brina. I am calling on Brina to be a judgy. And the other person I would probably choose would be Shelby.
Okay. Okay, because we could fill up every circle. So that way, lot of people will be saying that.
And that's another thing, y'all. One thing that I do not do is I do not fill up every slot because then it gets to be overwhelming and everyone doesn't get a fair chance. I only usually go up to like four. So that's usually what I do. Okay, so but we will see. We will see. Who is available and who is willing to come up. But next week, I think I will do the album thing. So, guys, today is Wednesday, and I am going to reinforce what I am about my show for tomorrow. It is Thursday Fun, and it is called Can You Feel It? Okay? And again, if you come on the panel, and if you feel the need to go serious, please do not come up on the panel, okay? I really want my Thursday shows to be like they used to, where we just laugh. So if you feel that in the chat, you have to get philosophical and say something serious, I'm not going to read it, okay? So I really want it to be a fun show. I truly do.
Do you got finger handcuffs? Do you have finger handcuffs? Because you might have to handcuff my fingers. I don't know.
Well, you can type it. I said I just won't read it. But again, I'm just so y'all know some of the trigger words tomorrow. When I say, "Can you feel it?" is one of the trigger words is going to be penetration. One of the trigger words may be vajayjay.
Hey. So,
In Jesus' name.
Tomorrow,
1 o'clock Pacific time. I usually come on like 3 minutes after. So that is going to be the show that I would like to have tomorrow. And as y'all know, I talk about anything and everything. So, bro, if you can't be fun, then you're going to have to take a step back.
Okay. See, we fighting already. That's what's
you're going to have to take a step back. Three Central. Yes. So 1 o'clock Pacific, 3 p.m. Central and 4 p.m. Eastern. So let's see. I'll be back. Thank you, William. Thank you. All right, guys. So I am going to leave you with Need to Belong, a little bit of Isaac Hayes. I chose the song because I think that, children need to belong to people, even though this is more of a love song. But, I thought it was appropriate for today. So it is a little bit long. A little over four minutes. If you guys like to stay for the whole song, please do. But other than that, bro, thank you very much for popping up here. Thank you everyone for coming. Thank you, Brina. Thank you, Ms. Brina. Okay, so until further ado, Isaac Hayes, the Black Moses. I love me some Isaac. Here we go.
Some sweet girl bring love into my world, 'cause I need to belong to someone. Mm-hmm. I wanna be kissed, yeah, and held tight. I wanna be made on a cold and lonely night. Somebody hear my plea, call out to me, 'cause I need to belong to someone. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. No one cares for me. I've never known sympathy. I hide my needs from the world with a smile. But understand that I'm only a man, and a man needs to belong to someone. A man hates to be known as no one.
ever some sweet girl bring a little love into my world. All I need to belong to someone.
And that's it, everyone. I hope to see you guys tomorrow. Enjoy your day or evening, wherever you are in the world. And as always, go where the wind takes you. Bye.